Book of Hebrews in chapter 6. Working our way slowly through these first couple of verses. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for another day of grace. And Father, we pray that we would put it to its best use by your Holy Spirit, by your power that works within us. And we pray, Father, that you would strengthen, encourage, and edify us throughout the service this morning by your word, by our fellowship, by the ministry that we have one toward another. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege that you give us in our Savior's name. Amen. Hebrews in chapter 6. First couple of verses. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. We've been talking about these things that the writer lists down there through that passage one at a time. We talked about the doctrine of baptisms last week. And so we'll take a look this morning at the doctrine of laying on of hands. Now that that's given as one of these foundational things, one of these issues that these Hebrews ought to have. And be able to move on beyond. If you'll come back with me, let's start out in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and take a look at the issue of laying on of hands. And this is something that it would do the church well to get a handle on today and get beyond. But they had the same. They had some of the same issues back then that we have today. Misunderstanding the word of God, wanting to take and just make your own, give your own meaning to things from the Scripture rather than finding out what God says about them. And when we do that, it always gets us into trouble. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. Says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So we see here that Joshua, it says, as Moses comes to the end of his life, Joshua gets the spirit of wisdom, it says there, and the reason is, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And what you've got here, I think, in Deuteronomy chapter 4 with Moses and with Joshua is really kind of an encapsulation of what this doctrine of laying on of hands is. The laying on of hands does several things in the Bible. It's a blessing, number one. It is a way that God uses to give, to transfer miraculous power. In this situation, it's the spirit of wisdom Joshua gets from the laying on of hands of Moses. That is something. The idea there is the man of God takes and imparts something of what God has given him to the other person. Now, of course, that act needs to be sanctioned by God. The man doesn't have the power to transfer the power of God from him to someone else. But God has ordained and had ordained this kind of ritual to depict the idea that the hands, that the power of God was in Moses' hands. And that since Moses was going to die now, someone needed to carry on, and that was transferred over to Joshua. And along with that gift, the laying on of hands also indicates a sort of an ordination, a charge to carry out a particular ministry, a particular work. So it is that. It is also an acknowledgement. When you lay hands on someone in this way, you are recognizing that person, that you yourself give acknowledge the authority that you're imparting to them. When the priests were ordained, the whole congregation laid their hands on the priests as a part of their ordination, on the Levites. And that was the congregation's acknowledging that we will recognize your ministry, your office, your authority, your place in God's program. And we very much do that today when we choose a minister. Ideally, ministers don't come out of school in the Bible. They come out of the church. Now, that's not that it's a bad thing for a minister to go to school, but in the Scripture, they're raised up in the church. And the way that happens is that the congregation recognizes the ability and the aptitude of a particular person, and the congregation acknowledges their when they show the desire, their place in the ministry. And that's a kind of a collective thing. So you've got all of these different, when you talk about the doctrine of laying on of hands, you've got all of these different kind of meanings to it. Come over to the book of Acts and chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. And the whole reason, the whole purpose for it, God has chosen to do much and most of what he does since he created man and forward. He does that through the hands of man, of human beings. And so that's the idea there of the laying on of hands. You know, what you do with your hands is you work with your hands. You do the things that God has given you to do. There are people today who, you know, we've killed Osama bin Laden now. And people are arguing, you know, religious people, whether, you know, was that the right thing to do, or should we have shown mercy, or should we, okay, kill him, but don't be so happy about it, and all of this discussion that's going on. And some people say, well, just, you know, thou shalt not kill. I mean, that's for God to do. But the fact is that God has put it into the hand of man to do, to carry out his work on this earth, including distributing justice and governing one another and so forth. And it's the same way in the ministry. We don't wait around and for a light from heaven to shine on someone and say, you should be a minister. There's a process that works through God's people. And the Lord does many things through the means of you and me. So this idea of laying on of hands comes from that. Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So they've got a growing church here, and the needs, as a church grows, its needs grow. And so there's a lack develops here, and the apostles are basically saying that that we've got our docket is full. We've got things to do that are that's taking up all our time. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And they picked seven guys there in verse 5. And verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased and multiplied and so forth. So now here you've got a situation where there's really nothing, at least as far as the record goes, being imparted. These men are full of wisdom, filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not receiving any of that by this laying on of hands. But what you've got is you've got a situation where the whole congregation, and that's why the apostles didn't say, well, we'll pick out seven men. They said, you pick out seven men. And so the congregation does it by whatever means they did it, by vote or whatever it was. They pick out these seven guys and they bring them to the apostles. The apostles lay their hands on them, acknowledging their new position as what most people would say were deacons in that church, people who did the kind of day-to-day grunt work kind of stuff. So you've got that, and that's just, it's not an impartation, it's an acknowledgement of these guys' ministry. Look in chapter 13, see it again. Chapter 13, Acts. Chapter 13, you've got Saul, Paul, in the church at Antioch. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed and so forth. So you see there how that these men are working by direct order and by direct revelation of the Spirit of God to separate these particular men out here. So this laying on of hands things kind of works differently in different situations, but you can see that common, just the meaning of the act here. Now, come back with me to chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. You see a lot of this laying on of hands going on in the book of Acts. The laying on of hands was used to impart the gift of the Holy Ghost by the apostles, and then it was used by those who had the Holy Ghost to heal people and do all those things like the Lord did. He'd lay his hands on people and they would be healed. Sometimes he had a bunch of little kids around him, right? It says he took them up in his arms, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. There wasn't any healing there, as far as the record goes. It was just a blessing. Here in Acts chapter 8, verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. And that when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So now this is what you're seeing here is you're beginning to see a change in how the Holy Ghost is given through Scripture. Back in chapter 2 and 3, you got baptized, you got the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here, these folks have gotten baptized, and the Holy Ghost didn't come. The apostles had to come now and lay their hands on them, because the authority has been established. And they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, laid their hands on them, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands he might receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." So you see, the what's happening there is what's being imparted is a gift of God. And when you look at the gifts and the giving of the Holy Ghost in this context, where people were doing miracles and people were doing supernatural ministries and had supernatural knowledge of things, all of these kind of things that go along with the laying on of hands. Come with me to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For you and for me today, the laying on of hands, we use that in ordination. In that situation that we talked about, where the congregation acknowledges the aptitude and the desire and the ability of a particular person in the congregation, and they are acknowledged and set forth by the congregation, and the elders of the congregation lay their hands on them. Now, there's nothing supernatural transpiring there. They're not imparting anything to that person. I remember when I was ordained, got up off the floor, the men putting their hands on my head, and got up, and one of them said, "You feel any different?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Good." Because the idea there is you're not making someone anything. What you're doing is you're acknowledging what hopefully God has already made them. That's what this is today. Back here in the before the Bible is complete, there was some impartation going on. So much so that Simon over there offered money for the power to do that. You take someone who doesn't have the Holy Ghost, you put your hand on him, and he's got the Holy Ghost. That's a miraculous, supernatural impartation coming through the laying on of hands. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So Paul's going to talk to the Corinthian church about spiritual gifts. We just read that Peter said, "You thought the gift of God could be purchased with money," and that's what was happening there. "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." Now, he's talking about prophesying. "And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." So you've got gifts, administrations, and operations there. And all of those are given by God, by one Spirit, by one Lord, by one God that works all of these different operations and administrations and gifts that were happening in the church. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." And he goes on there and talks about the body being one and having many members. Verse 13, "that by one Spirit we're baptized into one body." And the whole idea of the passage there is that kind of unity in diversity, that we're all, it's all one body and it's all one Spirit, but there's all these different impartations that the different people in the congregation have given to them. Verse 11 again, the Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. So, under this, in this situation here, this Corinthian church, you don't decide what gift you're going to have. And not everyone has all of the same gifts. There are supernatural impartations happening here, and it's happening by the Holy Spirit's own will, and he is dividing to every man severally. And that's an important word there in the verse, and we'll see that in a minute. That word dividing, you see that in all the context that these gifts are talked about. Come back to Romans chapter 12 with me. Romans chapter 12. Because people, you know, you've got, on the one hand today, you've got the folks who, you know, lay hands on people in terms of the Pentecostal movement and trying to heal people and give out these gifts and so forth. But even outside of those circles, in, you know, fundamental Christian, non-Pentecostal churches, churches who have acknowledged and recognized the fact that the miraculous manifestations of tongues and healings and those things have gone the way of the old dispensation. But even they will try and kind of seek out among themselves and within themselves, you know, what is my gift? What is my gift in this church? What has the Holy Spirit given me to do? They read a passage like 1 Corinthians 12, like Romans chapter 12, like Ephesians chapter 4, and they say, we're all one body, we're all baptized into one body, we're all members in particular, so the Holy Ghost must have, you know, given every one of us something special to do, so I wonder what he gave me. And let me tell you this morning that these folks back here, they weren't wondering what their gift was. There was no question about it. There was no just kind of, you know, let me get in the closet and meditate and pray and maybe God will tell me what my gift is, or I'll just, you know, go ahead and, you know, see what I'm good at or whatever it is, and that must be what God has given me to do. Now, these people knew, and we'll see why. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me. Now, that's a reference to the gift and gifts that the Apostle Paul has. And he's speaking by way of the grace that's given to him. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, he's talking about gifts here. He's going to talk about gifts in this passage. You don't want to get the idea from that verse that, okay, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So, you know, some people's faith is stronger than other people's faith, and that's because God gave this one so much and he only gave that one so much. Well, that's not what he's talking about here. And he's not saying that God gave more faith to you than he did to me, or me than he did to you. He's talking about gifts. He's talking about supernatural impartations of the Holy Spirit. Everyone gets, remember that word, dividing. In 1 Corinthians 12, here Paul talks about dealing. He dealt to every man the measure of faith. So this is the same idea again. You got a congregation of people. Everybody gets a measure. Everybody gets a part. Everybody gets a piece of the pie, as it were. Dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so this is the exact same context, 1 Corinthians 12, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And that's what he said starting this passage out. I'm saying to this by the grace that's given to me. I'm telling you how do we use the grace that was given to you. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion, there it is again, of faith. All these words that have to do with splitting the thing up. according to the proportion of faith. Ministry, let us wait on our ministry. He that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So now here you've got some gifts that are, you know, people who don't want to go the way of tongues and healing and all the rest of that will kind of leave the 1 Corinthians 12 passage when they want to look at gifts, and they'll come here to Romans. And they'll say, well, those tongues and healings and prophecy and all of that has gone away, but you've got the gifts of helps and of ministry and of teaching and of exhortation and of giving, and all of those gifts are still in operation today. Well, I'm going to tell you that I don't believe they are. In fact, in the context that we're talking about here, in the doctrine of laying on of hands, and that's what we're talking about, this stuff is gone. There is no supernatural impartation the way that there was at this time. Even when it comes to, you say, well, you know, I'm a good giver. I like to give. I give, you know, a big percentage of my income, all of that stuff. Well, that's great. Do that. But that's not a divine supernatural impartation of grace the way that we're looking at here in this passage. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4. You say, well, what is it then? Well, we'll see. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to get Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to get John chapter 3, because that's going to go along with this passage and what we're talking about here. So I've got Ephesians 4 in one hand, John chapter 3 in one hand. Ephesians chapter 4. We have, again, the same context as the other two passages we've just looked at. In verse 4, Ephesians 4, verse 4, there is one body. We saw that in both 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, here in Ephesians 4. And one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. 1 Corinthians 12 said, there's many gifts, but one Spirit, many administrations, but one Lord, many operations, but one God. The same thing. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Wherefore he saith, verse 7, sorry, missed it, but unto every one of us, so there's one body, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So there's that word again. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So now here again, we have a list of gifts, and you'll notice the tongues and the healing and all that kind of stuff, again, is missing here. When Paul talks about the gifts this late in his ministry, he's not talking about that kind of thing. Although, you have prophets here, and apostles. Now, you know, you and I know, not everybody doesn't know, but you and I know we don't have prophets today and we don't have apostles today, regardless of what some churches may call their elders. But here, they did. Now, what sometimes people will tend to do now is they'll cut that list off right in the middle, and they'll say, well, apostles and prophets are gone, but we've still got evangelists, and we've still got pastors, and we've still got teachers. But again, I would say to you that in this context, we don't. There is not the gift of a teacher today. There is not the gift of a pastor today, or of an evangelist, or of any of these things. All of these things that we're looking at here have to do with this doctrine of laying on of hands and of of God supernaturally imparting these spiritual abilities that this person has that the next person doesn't. Remember, the Spirit is dividing to every man severally as he will in this context. Go on down through here. We're going to look at John in a minute. Till we all come, verse 13, in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's that word again. Look at it again in verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that's three times in that passage. Paul talks about this gift being measured, being meted out. I'll compare that with John. We're going to come back to Ephesians, but get John 3. John chapter 3, verse 33. And he that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, talking about Christ. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. So what you end up with here is that the Lord Jesus Christ, and the context of John chapter 3 there is the Lord Jesus Christ in his office as a prophet, speaking the words of God, him whom God hath sent. And it says that in that context, God gave him the Spirit, but he didn't give it to him by measure. That is, he gave him the whole thing. He hath committed all things into his hand. Christ didn't have the Spirit piecemeal. But here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 again, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So Christ has the Spirit, and he's giving it out. But he's not giving it out the way it was given to him. He's giving it out by measure. John 3 says he was not given it by measure, but that's how he gives it out, by measure. Piece by piece by piece, dividing to every man severally as he will. So everybody gets a measure. Everybody gets a piece. Then verse 16 again, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So everybody's got a piece. Christ has the whole. He distributes it out in pieces. And then the members of the body, each of whom has a piece, come back together and put in the measure of every part. Everybody puts their measure back in. That's why Paul said, do what you do according to the measure of faith. You've got what you've got, well, put it in according to what you were given. So this is the design of the body. See, and this is why this is always in the context of the body, because you've got all of these members coming together. They've all got a piece, see? So they got to come together to put the pieces back together until you get verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where you started. Christ has the full thing. He gives it out in pieces. The body comes back together with all of its pieces and puts the whole back together. That's the idea here in this issue of the impartation of spiritual gifts and of the laying on of hands. Now, for you and for me today, number one, we don't have every one of us a measure of faith in the context that this is talking about here. God didn't decide that one person is going to have more faith and another person is going to have less faith. We all have faith that we are called to grow to perfection. Number two, we do not have pieces of the Holy Spirit, you and I. We have, the Spirit is not given by measure to us. Now, the Spirit works differently in you and me than he did in these people. But we have the whole. We don't have a measure. The Spirit is not given by measure to you and me. But he operates differently. Now, take a look at, get 1 Timothy. And let's look at the laying on of hands in relation to these things. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy and chapter 1, verse 18. Paul says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy," just like Moses charged Joshua, right? "According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." Now, are you and I called to war a good warfare? Yes, we are. Are we to do it by some prophecies that somebody prophesied over us? No. So there's a different situation here, isn't there? Timothy is operating in the ministry in a way that's different from what happens today. He's doing it by the power of some prophecies that were prophesied over him. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So Timothy is being called here to stir up that gift. That's the same thing he told them in the passage we just read. War a good warfare. Don't faint. Keep fight the good fight. And again, how's he doing it? He's doing it by that gift that was given to him, which is in thee, by the putting on of Paul's hands. He says that by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, he tells Timothy, among whom Paul was there present. This gift is given to you. And this is how you are to carry out the work. How to put in your part in the body of Christ. By these prophecies that came and by the laying on of hands. Now, taking our minds back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. How does the Holy Spirit do that? Everybody has to go home and wonder, well, I wonder what the Holy Ghost gave me. No. What happens is exactly what we're seeing here in these passages. You have prophets in these churches who were, we see the apostles going out and laying their hands on people, and then these people go out, and you've got prophets in the church. Person, a believer, comes, someone's out there preaching the gospel, you know the process, guy gets saved, bring him in the church. He comes in the church, and the Holy Spirit says to a prophet in that assembly, go over and lay your hands on this person and say, you've got the gift of helps. Declare it before the congregation and to that person. Thus saith the Lord. The Holy Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will through the laying on of hands of the prophets. So that these people didn't have to wonder, I wonder what my gift is. They knew what their gift was. God told them what their gift was through the prophet, and it was given them by the laying on of hands, just like it was Timothy. Now, you and me, I guess it'd be nice, you know, somebody could come along and say, here's what you're good at. Here's your job. But for you and for me, look at 2 Timothy in chapter 3. There's a different situation here. Now, why wouldn't we have the gifts? I mean, aren't we the body of Christ and members in particular? Doesn't everyone have to come together and put in their part? Yes. The operation there, the end result is the same. But the power comes differently for you and for me today. And there's one reason for that. It's because we've got a completed Bible that they didn't have. That's why. You and I see what is prophecy and what is speaking in tongues and what are all of these things but filling in gaps in the Word of God. Speaking the Word of God by the Holy Spirit because you didn't have it written down. Now for you and for me, we've got it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good work." Now, what did we just read in Ephesians chapter 4 that those gifts were for? Until we all come to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what those gifts were for. Well, what does that now? The Scripture. So that we can be not partially furnished, so that the gifts can make up the rest. The Scripture is here and complete so that we can be throughly furnished unto all good works. So it's not one person has this gift, another person has that gift, another person has that gift, and you do what you do according to the measure of faith. We all have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit within us so that whatever need needs to be filled, the power of God by His Word, by His Holy Spirit is sufficient in us to do that. Now, we all have natural abilities and natural tendencies and things that we're good at and things that we're not so good at, and we tend to lean towards those things, and that's fine. That's why there's, you know, the more the merrier. Everybody can put in his or her part. But the idea is that the divine impartation today is through the Word by His Holy Spirit that dwells within you, not a piece of the Holy Spirit, but the whole, not a piece of the Bible, but the whole. See, what we have today is we have a completed operation. What's happening today is fully functional by things that abide, not by these transitory things that were given by the laying on of hands. So that now, look at 1 Timothy again, chapter 3. So you say, well, how do I know then? I'm thinking I may be called to the ministry. How do I know? See, that's something that men of God, suffer with. They go through, you know, am I called? Am I not? And spend time again meditating and wondering, you know, is this God's purpose for me and so forth? Well, look, if you were living back here in these days, it would be a matter of God calling you by a singular, several calling, dividing to every man severally. That means one at a time, as He will. But the Lord would have told you by the prophet, look, here's your job. You're going to be a minister. And you didn't get the choice because He was doing it according to His will. Today, 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is a true saying. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be, and he goes on down through that list. Well, so now what's the issue today, whether you're going to be a bishop or not? Is it the calling of God? Is it God deciding for you by the will of the Holy Ghost that this is what you're going to be? Or is it a matter of you desiring the office? Well, it's got to do with your own choice now, doesn't it? Remember 1 Corinthians 12, dividing to every man severally as he will. Here, if any man desire the office, here's what he needs to do. So, we're all grown up now. We're kind of making our own, hopefully spirit-led, choices in the things that we do in the ministry. And we do it by that edification process that comes through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every one of us. And this idea of the laying on of hands today, we still do it. It's symbolic. We do it in ordination. It's not imparting anything. It's remember, there are all different reasons for this laying on of hands. It's not just supernatural transfer. Sometimes it's just the acknowledgement of the congregation that we're seeing these abilities in you. That's what we do today. But so this doctrine of laying on of hands has carried into the church today, not just in Pentecostal circles. The Bible doesn't call you to seek your gift. The Bible calls you to walk in the Spirit. And then when you see a need, you'll be there and ready to fill it. Do you have a question? Comment? Any further word? All right. Thanks, y'all.